We are looking at the book of Psalms, and today we are going to look at Psalm 13. Psalm 13, and it's a very short psalm. I'll read it to us. Psalm 13, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Amen. A short introduction. This psalm, there's no clear evidence when David wrote this psalm and at what period of his life can this be tied to. And any attempt to link this specific moment to an event in his life is only speculation. Although Dr. Gill suggests that David may have written this psalm while he was running for his life, running not from Saul, but running from his own son, Absalom. And remember, Absalom had rebelled against David and tried to take the throne. And he had marched towards Jerusalem, and David was forced to leave the city. And Dr. Gill thinks that perhaps the psalm was written during this painful time. The psalm certainly describes a person or an individual who is suffering and feels almost hopeless. A person in deep, deep distress. A person who has faced long periods of persecution. And a person who feels as though God has forgotten them. How long is the cry? How long? It shows the depth, it shows the anguish, it shows the misery of this ongoing struggle. And it's even being called by some of the old writers, Psalm 13 being called the How Long Psalm. How long? How long? And even some writers say that because how long is mentioned so many times, it could be called the Howling Psalm. Well, in this psalm, the wonderful thing is that David shares the comfort that God gave him so that others that are going through similar trials can also be encouraged and also be strengthened. And we can divide the psalm into three headings. Number one, David's agitation. The psalmist describes his deep suffering, his suffering on earth, and his feeling that God has forgotten him, verses 1 and 2. And then point number 2, his supplication. He asks the Lord to help him in verse 3 and 4. And then point number 3, his assurance. Finally, he's encouraged. He gains confidence that God will answer him. We see that in verse 5 and 6. Let's look together in the first place at David's agitation. David's agitation. What David is facing is common to all of our lives, typical to all of our lives. We all face seasons where we are greatly troubled, seasons where we have trials and difficulties. In David's case, he's asking this question, how long? How long? It appears that David has asked four times in these few verses. Four times he has asked, how long, Lord? How long? And it shows his longing to be rescued. It shows his deep desire to be rescued. It shows the intense pain of his heart. Even although there may be some impatience mixed with this, how long, Lord, in this cry, doesn't it make it an honest picture of our own experience? Often we may think, how long, Lord? We've been praying about this issue for so long. There seems to be no answer. And it's very easy when answers delay that we slip into impatience, and we need God's grace to wait on Him without falling into a complaining spirit, without falling into complaining the way the situation is. And that was true of David, and we have to admit it's also true of us. We struggle when it seems as though answers delay. We get so discouraged. We forget God. Often we forget God. When it's going well, we forget God. But when it's not going well, oh, we remember Him. And now David is thinking that God has forgotten him. He's saying, why have you forgotten me, Lord? But the truth is this, God never forgets us. We are His very own children. We are His blood-bought children. No higher price could have been paid for us. He's adopted us into His family. I think of the Bible verse in Isaiah. Can a mother forget her sucking child? She may forget. I will never forget you, says the Lord. So the Lord will never forget us, even although we may feel that we are forgotten. But when we feel we are forgotten, there are reasons why we become agitated, reasons why we come under the displeasure of God. God, in His wisdom and His purpose, will sometimes allow troubles in our life. He uses them to strengthen our faith. He uses them to shape our character. When we have troubles, they drive us to our knees. They drive us to prayer. They loosen us from the world's grip, wean us from the world. And this was true of David. It felt to him that God had hidden his face. And so he cried out, how long? How long wilt thou forget me, Lord? And for us to forget God, for you and I to forget God, that's acting in a sinful way. That's wrong. But when the Bible speaks of God forgetting someone, it means He's withholding the help they need. In the same way, when God hides His face, it means He chooses not to step in and give relief now. Or He doesn't choose to step in and show His favor now. It also means that we are not conscious. We don't have an awareness of His felt presence. We feel that God is far away. And David felt like this. He felt very low. He was discouraged. He'd been hit by wave after wave of disappointment and trouble and hardship. And it seemed to David that he had slipped out of God's thoughts and out of God's care. Now, I want to bring some balance, because we often feel like that. We often feel that God doesn't care, but it's not true. when we consider Isaiah chapter 40, the very character of God is set before us in this chapter, showing us that these thoughts that God has forgotten us are not true. The scripture says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases their strength." The Lord is always alert, and he always sees his people. He neither faints, nor slumbers, nor sleeps. He's a God whose eye is upon the faithful. And knowing this truth, when we understand his eye is upon me, we consider verse 31, Isaiah 40, verse 31. "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength." Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. "They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And yeah, we are being reminded. It's really us who forget. We forget to follow after righteousness. We neglect to seek the Lord with all our hearts. Oh, if we could have this verse burned into our hearts, "For one day in the courts of the Lord is better than a thousand anywhere else." Psalm 84 and verse 11. "For the Lord God is the sun and the shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." God doesn't forget his love towards us. He remembers his love towards us. His love is stronger than the love of a mother towards a newborn child. It's us who loses perspective. Our sorrows seem to go on for so long, so many days. We compare our sorrows to our joyful days, but really we should compare our sorrows to eternity. And then we will realize that all of our sorrows are just temporary. They, as the Bible says, momentary and light afflictions. Momentary and light. They're not going to last forever. Compared to eternity, our sufferings are nothing. A right perspective is that we see our sufferings are temporary. And even our dwelling in this world is temporary. Our whole existence here is temporary. It's the shortest part of our existence. Our trials will not last forever. They will be over. And even Christians lose perspective. Even mature Christians can lose perspective and look only to the trial and worry about the future and complain the way things are. Oh, it's so hard. It's so difficult. But when we look to God in our present trouble, it keeps our struggles in the right perspective. Our trials may seem endless. Emotional weight may make time go very slowly, may feel heavier than it really is, but it's not. Let me give you a practical example. If you put a pot of water on a stove to boil and you watch it, it seems to take forever. Even there's a proverb that says a watched pot never boils. And it seems that It feels like time passes more slowly when you're watching it, when you're anxiously waiting and watching the process, hoping that it's going to finish. Oh, we don't watch the process. Oh, no. Rather than looking at the process, let us look up. Let us look to the Lord. Don't let impatience and anxiety and complaining make the trials longer. You know, the more we complain, it seems as though the trial gets bigger and bigger. And when we constantly think about the trial, also it appears to get bigger and bigger. Fear and anger and self-pity start to come in. Bitterness, evil passions begin to cloud our spiritual judgment. You know, we draw a beautiful picture from the well-known event of when Jesus walked on the water to the disciples. We see that in Mark 6 and verse 46 to 49. We know that Jesus went to the mountain to pray, and he commanded his disciples to get into the boat and go over to the other side. And when they were in the middle of the sea, he was alone on the land. He was praying to his Father, making intercession for them on the mountain. But he saw them toiling, rowing the wind against them. And he hadn't forgotten them. He was on the mountain interceding for them. Friends, the Lord sees all our troubles. He hasn't forgotten us. Oh, it's so hard, Lord. It's such an uphill battle. Can't you see me, Lord? The Lord sees you. And we need to ask ourselves this. The Lord said to the disciples, go over to the other side. Did he not say, go over to the other side? But they began to doubt. They began to fear. Has the Lord forgotten us? Did he not say, go over to the other side? And then our Lord, who is all-seeing, all-knowing, saw them struggling. When he saw them, why didn't he command then immediately the wind to stop? Why did he leave them to struggle? Why didn't he send an angel to help them? Well, one of the old writers gives a beautiful picture. Because he wanted to give the best possible help, he sent no other help. He came himself to help them. But he was teaching them in this difficulty. It was a small example of what they were going to face, the kind of hardships that they would have to face when they preached the gospel. And often they would face and feel the wind against them. They would have to struggle and work and push forward against the resistance. And they would face great waves of difficulty, opposition, and persecution from the enemies. They were learning to endure hardship like good soldiers. And Christ was teaching them. He came not unto them. He didn't send help immediately. He hadn't forgotten them. Whatever our circumstances are, no matter what we are facing, how hard it is. The Lord sees us. He sees his children alone or in company. He sees us in sickness. He sees us in health. He sees us on land. He sees us on sea. He sees us in perils in the wilderness. The same eye that saw the disciples tossed in their boat on the sea is the same eye that sees us in our difficulties. He's mindful of us. We're never out of his reach. Even if it seems our enemies are victorious, he still has his eye upon us. And David is still saying, how long, Lord? How long will you hide your face from me? And David had actually never seen the face of the Lord. What is meant here by this saying is, Lord, I don't sense your presence. I don't sense your favor. I don't sense your smile upon me, your approval upon me. David felt as if God had turned away from him and hidden his face. And Charles Spurgeon says that a hidden face is not a forgetful heart. God may have hidden his face from you. His presence may be withdrawn, but his heart is still for you. And that was true of David, and it's also true of us. There are times in our lives when God may hide his face from us, and it may be because our hearts have grown cold. It may be because our hearts have grown hard, and because of that we lose a sense of his presence and approval. When we feel this distance, when we feel there's no joy, no comfort, no assurance of his love, what is the thing that we should do? We should examine ourselves and ask, why? Why is God's presence? Why is the Lord withdrawing a sense of his presence from me? Is it because I've become self-absorbed? I'm wrapped up in earthly things only? Is it God warning me about my certain choices, relationships, or pursuits in life? Is it because I'm tolerating sin in my life? Is it because I'm ignoring my spiritual responsibilities? Sometimes the Lord hides his presence from us, his face from us, to gently correct us, drawing our attention to what's wrong and leading us back to himself, leading us back to truth. The fact is that we all have inner turmoil like David. David says it like this: sorrow in our heart daily. Daily sorrow in our hearts. And what's the cause of this daily sorrow? Where does this heaviness come from? What can we do with this daily sorrow? Well, David shows us in the next verse what to do. And in verse 3, he says, this is his prayer: consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. So the cure for daily sorrow. Do you want to know the cure for daily sorrow? This is the cure for daily sorrow: good food from the table of the Lord. Good food from the table of the Lord. When we return again and again to the faithful promises of God, oh, and we read them, and the scripture is proven and of full comfort to God's children. What else will cause a cure? Regular fellowship. Regular fellowship with the Lord. Daily communion, prayer and meditation, and obedience to the word keeps our hearts steady and joyful and full. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Every day we can have our hearts filled. What else will be a cure for daily trouble? Thinking of others for Christ's sake. Strengthening them with the same comfort that you yourself have received. And the Spirit of God will draw you out of yourself. And you will not only be worried about self. Now you will have a concern for somebody else. And it's such a joy to help someone else when you yourself have struggled so much. And then, lastly, what we must do if we are to avoid daily trouble or have a cure for daily trouble is to avoid everything that will harm the soul. Turn away from that which dulls our spiritual appetite. Turn away from that which weakens devotion to the Lord. Turn away from those things which distract us from Christ Jesus. That's the cure. Oh, we look unto the Lord. And when we look unto the Lord, the brightness of our eyes is restored. Renewed strength comes. Hope comes. And some may be very discouraged. Are you very discouraged? You say, I can't even read the Bible. Well, for 20 shillings, you can buy data for your phone, and you can listen to an audio Bible, to the book of Psalms. Oh, download an audio Bible and lie in your bed and listen to the Psalms. Only 20 shillings. The brightness to your eyes will come back. You'll be strengthened in the Lord, and you will be encouraged. Your soul will be lifted. Then it goes on to say this. Well, the sleep of death. You know, depression is the sleep of death. It will be driven away. The Word of God drives it away. You see, darkness naturally leads to sleep. When the room is dark and you're trying to listen to a preaching on your phone, it's almost certain you'll fall asleep. And when we are heavily discouraged in our hearts, it makes us grow very weary, just as darkness makes the body sleep. A discouraged heart takes our strength away and makes us so weary. And from this faintness and this dimness of spiritual sight, there's deep despondency. And our cry is this, O Lord, enlighten my eyes. Enlighten my eyes. You see, the answer is to go to the Lord. None of our plans and our strivings can bring a solution. We can't solve these things on our own. We don't have the answer. We need the Lord's help. We need Him. It's wise not to weary ourselves with overthinking and fretting and trying to work it out, running every possible scenario through our minds. I can do this, I can do that, and I'll try A and I'll try B, and if B doesn't work, I'll try C, and you exhaust yourselves. Our troubles should not lead us to overthinking. Our troubles should lead us to the throne of grace, where we can fall on our knees and pray and have no confidence in ourselves. Our confidence is in the Lord. And we ask the Lord, Lord, I'm so weak. Restore to me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Lord, I'm so confused. Restore to me clarity. Clarity that I may see with the eyes of faith and not the eyes of fear. Oh, Lord, verse 4, I ask these things, lest the enemy say, I have prevailed against him. Let those who trouble me rejoice. Let those who trouble me rejoice when I'm moved. We see another plea here, a very strong plea. And the arrogance of our enemy. David is saying, Lord, don't let my enemy gloat over me. Don't let my enemy boast over me. Lord, it brings dishonor to your name, Lord. It gives the evil ones a reason to boast. And we should be so grateful that our salvation and God's glory are bound together. God will not allow His glory to fall, and therefore He will not allow His people to be overcome. God is so very faithful. He keeps His promise. He will bring down His enemies in due time. Every enemy in due time will be brought down. Yes, for a while we mocked, we laughed at, but it won't last forever. Their day is coming. Their day is coming when their situation will be reversed and they will fall. My faith is not in my righteousness, not in my ability. My faith is in God's mercy. I rejoice, says David, in your salvation. There's coming a day where we will be rejoicing and our enemy will be crying. Verse 5. But I've trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. In spite, David says, in spite of all my difficulties, all these problems, all this pain, I still trust you, Lord. I trust your mercy. And his faith is in God's mercy. His heart is filled with the joy of salvation. Do you know when you believe, peace comes? Peace comes by believing. And David knew that although weeping may endure long, joy will return. He knew God's salvation would fill his mouth once again with praise. And we know that too, that joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. Verse 6. Psalm 13, verse 6, I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me. What a change has taken place. David was so low at the beginning of the psalm, and now he's up, he's lifted. As one of the old writers says, what a change the Lord has wrought. The rain has gone, the sun is out, and the birds are singing. This is what happens, friends, when we meet God at the mercy seat. The one who was weeping now finds a song in their mouth, and they're ready to sing. If we have been like David, mourning with sorrow, And he shows us when we come to him, he gives us reason to rejoice. David's circumstances didn't change, but his heart was changed. His heart was changed from pain to prayer, to trust and to praise. From pain to prayer, to trust, to praise. And the psalm closes with, I will sing because the Lord has been good to me. Faith in God gives David assurance. He runs to God as he's done over the years. He runs to him because he knows that he's a strong and a mighty tower, and he takes refuge in him. Faith is alive now. Living faith always runs to God. And David's enemies couldn't stop him running to God. And our enemies can't stop us running to God. He held tightly and he clung to his faith. It was as if his very life depended upon it. And friends, indeed, our life does depend on it. For it is the Lord who sustains. Let us learn this valuable lesson and say like David, my heart will rejoice in thy salvation. What a divine turnaround we've seen. In the beginning, he feels forgotten. And Spurgeon puts it so well. He says, what a climb there is in the psalm from the depth of sorrow to the summit of joy, ending with, He has dealt bountifully with me. We will look back over our lives and we will declare, it is better, better. The Lord has been more good to us than we could have ever imagined. His dealings with us have been kind. His dealings have been generous. He has always been faithful. He has blessed us with spiritual blessings, and He has crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies. And if we are struggling, let us learn to climb this climb that David climbed. Let us commit ourselves afresh to God and trust His mercy, and it won't be long before we are singing as well. Amen.